Thank you so much, my brother, and it is a real wonderful opportunity again to open the Word of God with you. And as you open the Word of God in Ephesians, I remind you, even though the audience here knows that there is an outline inside the church bulletin, and within the outline there are numbers between parentheses, and those numbers between parentheses indicate the page number of the Bible that is placed in the pew for you. So I do not have to repeat from the pulpit page number, which sometimes could make a confusion between the Bible reference and the number. And for those who listen, if you want a Bible like ours, we will send it to you free. You just have to write to us. And the outline will be placed on the webpage, on the website, so you can follow us from the comfort of wherever you are and listening to this. During the month of January, I prepare your food in a very special way. I remember when I was ordained, Dr. Schaefer, my professor, put the hands on me and said, I'm going to read only one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And then he spoke in Greek. He said, Eis Iami Kerosonton Logon. Lord, I pray, let this man preach the word. And that's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, when Paul ordained Timothy. And so Peter tells us that the pastor should feed his people. And so I had to prepare, I'm like a cook, I had to prepare the menu for you, and I do it monthly. All right? I read the scripture intensely, and then I get a thoughts of one area, and I have to teach you from the word. I cannot teach you topics, I teach you just sections of the word. And so on January, remember, we studied the inside of man in Ecclesiastes. What should we go for? Should we go for a big house and a big diploma and forget about God and accumulate all the riches that we can accumulate, and who cares about God? Or should we dedicate ourselves to God? And we had the richest man in town to explain to us, Solomon. And remember, Professor Manahan translated the word vain as useless. And I thought that he was excellent in doing that. It is useless to pursue that. And I hope that is in your mind too. Then comes February, and I thought I was reading Genesis. And when you read Genesis, you see God at work every second of every page. And so I thought to encourage you, I said, I will let the church know that God is not sleeping. The Congress of the United States is not ruling over the Bible and the believers and the circumstances of this world, even though some are tough in our individual life, cannot destroy you, because God is at work, and we study that. First, God is at work where we all began, at salvation, and God gave us a picture. Remember the Lamb, start right there with Cain and Abel, and went all the way to Jesus. And that brought to us that God is a provider. Doesn't matter what time and the history of the world you live, God is always the same provider. He provides for Abel a lamb, and he provides for you, 14,000 years later, a lamb. All right? Then Pastor Greg Tomlinson did a great exposition on love, and he spoke about that substitution that God has done. Rather that, remember that he issued the chapters in Deuteronomy, and then he went into Romans 5:8, and there in Romans 5:8, God loved us when we were yet sinners. And so he brought to our attention the substitutionary work of God. Rather than get angry with you, usually somebody kick you on your leg, you go and kick him back, but that's not God. He turned around, thank God. He turned around, and he loved you and me just as we are. Ignorant of God, some of us. Some people are belligerent against God, but God's still loving. And then I brought to you last Sunday, God at work in our destiny. God wants you to focus on that Jesus and his work and he's coming. And my heart is getting like a flame each time I watch the television. As you know, I've been extremely sick on the bronchial area, the chalk cannot breathe, and the doctor has to put me in a very heavy medicine, and some of them are don't let you sleep. And so I just turn on the TV, get my Bible, and write. I love to read and write. And from 2 o'clock until 7, that's what I do in the night. From 2 o'clock in the morning until 7, I just do that, and then I come to church. And I told my wife, my heart is really getting good. I'm reading Revelation every day. The 20th chapter of Revelation. You read it. Can you read it? You know, and I listen to 360. I listen to 270. I listen to the Alibaba from Iran. And I listen, in Arab. And boy, the Bible is coming like this. Just line up and line up. And so I hope in April I start a series in the morning on Revelation. A different study than I did before. But a series chapter by chapter to encourage you again. There is no chaos, brothers and sisters. There is no chaos. Everything is under control. God is arranging the chessboard so that the Savior will come again. That's what I plan on April. But I want to close today, God at Work, with something that should give you a stability and security. I go to these different mini breakfast, the luxury McDonald's in town, Gilroy ball, we call it a greasy spoon, and all of this. And I listen to people talking. And it is interesting how many questions people have. And one man asked me the other day, very heavy, his name, very heavy, come early in the morning, I want to, right after the gym, and he said, do you think that God is able to keep me forever? Do you think that you Christians have solved all the problems and now you don't have to worry about yourself? God has you in the palm of his hands. And when in fact there isn't a scripture that God has you in the palm of his hands, because he's ignorant of the scripture, I cannot share that with him. But that gave me an idea that you and I need to have this security of God. And so that's the sermon this morning. God at work through the Holy Spirit. God at work through the preservation of our life in spite of ourselves. So that if you do not match the perfection of God, God knows that. And he doesn't bring you to heaven because of your performance. He brings you to heaven because of the performance of Christ. Now the performance of Christ in you should make you to perform like him. That's what happened. So let's compare scripture with your life individually. Don't raise your hand and say, oh, I'm wrong. Don't say a word. Yeah, let's compare. And let's get convicted. And let's get moving for the Lord. All right? God at work. This is the way that God works. He works through the Holy Spirit. Now, God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. All right? I'm a father. I was the son of my mother. And I'm an uncle. I have three different personalities. One individual, indivisible, under three different personalities. And that's how God works. And if you read the Old Testament, there is a word over there that's called the decree of God. And Psalm 2 said, I decree today my son will go down. In other words, God's going to come down in the person of his son and so on. That's another theological explanation. But God is going to work through the Holy Spirit. God the Father doesn't come down to work here. God, Jesus doesn't come down to work today. And this dispensation, the Bible calls it, you heard the word as our brother read, and this dispensation, the Holy Spirit is at work. And he works with certain means. First, we're going to study the means, how the Holy Spirit works. Then we're going to study what the Holy Spirit does in his work. He does conviction. And then we're going to study what the Holy Spirit produces. All right? And this will clarify many denominations, because there are some people who, unfortunately, some of them are ignorant of the word. They believe that, oh, a miracle is going to happen here and this and there. And there are miracles, but there is one kind of miracle the Holy Spirit is established to do so. And so this will clarify Christianity wide open for you, and hopefully bring security into your mind of what you believe, and peace in your heart. That if you have not performed perfectly as a Christian, don't panic. God have you in the palm of his hand. Not because I say it, my brother, because God say it. Okay? Let's study together. Number one, the means of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit will use today to talk to you? Well, in the Old Testament, he used dreams. Joseph. In the Old Testament, he used all kinds of things. But in the New Testament, what the Holy Spirit will use. All right? The Holy Spirit will use the Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trust, after you heard the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit will use the Word. Mrs. Campana and her husband, when they were alive, they were in the Gideons, and their function was to place a Bible in every place. And through Mr. Campana, we put 400 Bibles in the hotel across the street. Remember Mr. Campana? What a joy. We put the Bible in every room of that hotel. Because the Holy Spirit used the Word. Now why? Okay, let's study why. Because is God's working power. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look in verse 3. The Holy Spirit used the Word, as we read in Ephesians 1:13, because it is God, it is the tool that God has the power. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And catch this one. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Do you understand? The Bible said here that by faith we understand that the entire world system was framed by word when God said in Genesis 1, verse 3, verse 4, be the light, be this, be the other. God spoke and was done. Now the verse also said, God did not make a tree out of a tree or out of leaves in the floor. God make a tree out of nothing. And if you want to reason that one, you can. That's what the verse said, by faith. We understand. All right? So God used the Word because his working power tool from the very beginning. And God said the Bible, be the light, and the light was so. Isn't that magnificent? God used the Word because it is God flashing light to our mind. Look with me in Psalm 119. If you go to Psalm 119 and you go to verse 105, you find there the instructions in the Bible that the Word is a God flashlight for our life. The author of the Psalm 119 says in 105, 119, 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's put that in today's terminology. Your word is a light for me today, to my feet. You look to your feet just today. Your word is a light for me today. That's why society do not understand why we cling to the word. That's what I tell my Arabian friends from San Martin. Now, you have this book, this man wrote the book, and you have the addendums. My grandma showed me the addendums, and must be, 50 years later, must be hundreds of addendums, because you need to put the book in, and they say it. They came to my home the other day. They say it. They said, you know what happened? He said, we need to update the book. Well, we don't need to update this book. Look at what it is. Thy word is a lamp to my feet today. But doesn't it stop there, my brother? What the word said. And a light to my path. That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. That is tomorrow. And we believers who have this cannot be under the circumstances. Something is happening in our life. People say, what happened? Well, we dropped the guard. We dropped the guard. Rather than watching, remember my last sermon, watching into Jesus and into his word, we drop the guard and we become part of society. You know, I have one of the most difficult times of my life with my 15 years old town, Lincoln Town car. Because I want to keep it. It's the most comfortable leg stretch car for me. Doesn't matter if he uses $5 more of gasoline, so what? And if somebody hit me, he's going to be dead. So I have a hard time to explain to the company. And then I got upset. And I said, Raquel, let's go and let's buy a new car. And we went. And I look on it. And they were not real, those people. I measure, you know, you're a Christian. So you're not enticed by what you see, all right? The salesman will seat you in the car and move it this and move it the other. And now you say, you don't have to call the phone. No, say a number. So I say a number and the car, calling. It just looked like paradise, you know. And I said, well, you know, I just need four wheels, a little stick shift to move. My car is broken and I want to see what you want. And he told me what he wanted and come down. They said, then I went to my friends in Gilroy, Lincoln Mercury, and said, now here with this. I want you to look into this car carefully. I pay you. Review the car and tell me, this car to run in 5 years, you need to spend this money. Boy, 2 hours later, so you need to spend $170. I said, no, do it again. Something must be wrong. No, the car is 15 years old. They do it again as well. If you want to really have a top-of-the-line car, you have to spend $567. Do it right now. Then we went home and we rode $565, $25,000 on the left. It's a new car and a bargain and $565. And I said, Lord, thank you. See, you don't have to go by the inside. Oh, I want a new car. Oh, I want this. But is that what God wants for me? Is that prudent in our life? That's why society is in trouble. See, the businessman is trying to sell you the whole thing. But the Bible tells me, if I do not have the money, then I have to measure, where do I going to put the money? Do I want to invest $25,000 in a car that in 3 years is $3,000? Or do I want to give it to the ministry or to do this or to do the other? We are here in this earth not to a show. We are here for the glory of God. We are here to expand the gospel and we need to have a self-control. And that's what the Bible does for you. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a lamp into my feet. And I have a wife who is very jealous of that. Extremely jealous. And even argue for 30 cents. So you wrote a check 30 cents off. Oh, I write a check approximately. No, you can't write approximately. You have to write exactly. Really. It's just, you know, that's why society is in trouble. My first car I'm going to buy. I said, well, you need a car in America. Well, what car are you going to buy? Well, a car that I can fork the gasoline. So I bought a Volkswagen with $3. $3.30 was the whole month of gasoline in 65. And so I like to scale mountains. So by Friday night, put my daughter in the back of the Volkswagen, my wife, some food, to Yosemite. 7 o'clock, I'm with the chain on the mountains, and my daughter in the back, way up, and Raquel down cooking, so when I come back in the afternoon, I have a nice meal. And cost me $1. See, that's what God gave us, the word. It's not theory, it's a practical book. and will heal you and take all your pride away and all those desires away and give you comfort and happiness. It is a power tool. It is a flashlight. It is God's final word. Look in John chapter 17 and verse 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17. This is God's final word. There is no another word coming up that you can read. It's, oh, this is more actual. This is more verified. John 17, 17, Jesus pray in John 17. This is really what we should call the Lord's Prayer. He pray and he says, sanctify them. He's talking about his disciples. He said, Lord, separate them from the world. Now, how can we be separated from the world? You know what some denominations do? They don't allow the women to cut their hair. They don't allow the women to have a nice dress. So you have to dress like you don't look so women anymore. That's what the Arabs do. I asked my Arab friend, when you go to bed, do your wife go nude or go with all these dress? Oh, tell me. Do you like to see your wife nude or you want to see your life with all these dress? Let's be real. See, these things your wife do is unreal. And so the Bible is really real. And we have to confront these people with the truth. And so Jesus said, I want to separate my people. How? Not by the way you dress. That comes after. After the conviction, look at how you separate. Sanctify them in what the Bible says. By your truth. Aletheia. And remember what Pilate said? What did he say? Where is truth? What the Bible said? Your word, logos, is truth. Now when you have the word of God in you, now you know how to dress, now you know what to have. The word of God separated you. You just live your life by the rules of the word of God, and it's okay. When you're going to buy something, the Bible said, do you have the money? If you don't have it, you have a stock that can counterfeit this money. And you never borrow if you don't have any stock to pay. The United States borrow and print money absolutely wrong because they don't have a gold to back up. And the Bible said, that's against the law. In other words, the Bible teaches you so well. And so the word, he says, Father, sanctify them, make them holy. Roman Catholic Church have the priest dressed with his colors and so on to make them holy. That means hold to the truth of the word of God, and that will make you holy and different from the others. I was watching a Spanish program. Indignated me. The announcer, unknown to these people, said, well, we have these guests and so on. How long you have been married? I said, how long have you been together? He said, 28 years. Well, I'm so glad you are married for 20 years. I said, no, we are not married. And the announcer don't know what to say. And he's a very remarkable announcer from Chile. I mean, an expert, 40 years in the business. He said, is that comfortable for you? He said, you don't know what to say. Is that comfortable for you? Well, I said, we have children. Well, you have children. He said, you have been nasty people. He said, all right, on television. You see, Roman Catholicism had that morality still, and I respect it. And you see, they don't have the word. He said, well, we have fun. You don't marry for fun. It's entirely different. I have fun with my wife, but it's a different story. 90% of your marriage is no fun. It's work. Come on. The word of truth is what is relevant. The word. And so the Holy Spirit used one means. Don't use dreams. Don't use shaking. Don't use expectation. Don't use insight. The Holy Spirit used the word of God. Now, if you want to be guided by the word of God, purchase a Bible that you can read softly and read it every day, 4, 5, 7 chapters a day. And your mind will be so enlightened and your power will be so delightful. And you will be so peace and with tranquility. You will be under the control of God only if the word is in your heart. That's the means the Holy Spirit used to speak to you. Now, what the word of God does brings only one thing. conviction. The first conviction is about sin. If you go to John Gospel, chapter 16, John Gospel chapter 16, I'm going to read for you verses 5 to 9. Conviction of sin. You can talk to somebody, but I've never asked somebody to believe, because only God can ask him to believe. Conviction of sin is done by God. You hear those preachers say, walk forward, walk around the building, do this and the other. That's a false profession of faith. There is only one person they can call you. Let me show it to you. John Gospel 16, verse 5. But now, he's briefing his disciples. You know, he has a cabinet meeting, Jesus. Imagine Jesus sitting down in a cabinet meeting, and he's going to leave. And so he's briefing his disciples for the next step in life. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now he's going to give them the hope. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, he says. It is in your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will, the King James said, reprove, the word should be, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin of what? Because they smoke, because they cheat their wife, because they drink? No, look at verse 9. Of sin because, what the verse said? They do not believe in me. So when I preach the word, when I bring the word, the Holy Spirit is in action. And the first thing he does to an unbeliever is confronting him with his unbelief. And you talk to some people and they get nasty to you. Don't panic. Do not react to it. Bring more scripture and watch the Holy Spirit mulch that person in pieces if the Holy Spirit wants to. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's just bring. The other day, here at the McDonald's, I'm with my wife. I said, come in. Let's have the senior's cup of coffee. 2 and 2, 54 cents. I go over there. And here a man get up from the table and said, hey, pastor, how are you? So we are meeting again for a Jehovah Witness pastor across the street. Hey, we are meeting again. I said, oh, you with that poison material again. I said, you know, and he said, give me those books and throw it away. And, you know, and hey, you're violent. Yeah, I'm violent against any evil. Oh, but you're a nice looking guy. Oh, that's it. That's good. I said, you know, they know how to get you. But it's, He said, here we are again. Look at what he said to me. I said, why are you sitting here doing nothing? I know what you're doing, but why are you doing this with a pile of these Atalaya's books and so on? Why are you here? He said, I'm here to witness about Christ. I said, well, what you're doing is okay. Now, the material you use is, let me throw this in the garbage. I got to put it in the garbage. He said, now I'm going to get to the car. I'm going to get some Bibles for you. Conviction comes by the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to panic. You just tell the people the truth, and the truth, and the truth, and the truth, and the truth. And that will convict it. Now, there is conviction about unity. What church should I attend, people said? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will tell you what church you should attend. Look at how you get into the body. You don't get into the body by asking membership to Bethel Baptist Church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, and you see how you get into the body. God placed you into the body. The Bible said, for by one Spirit we were all baptized, placed into one body, whether Jew or Greek, doesn't matter your race, whether a slave or free, doesn't matter your political status, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, it is the Spirit of God that places you into the body of Christ, that celestial body in heaven. There is no other way. So the conviction about unity, we're going to be all one. Yes, if the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ, you are one already. And then conviction about truth. If you go to the Gospel of John in chapter 14, for example, in the Gospel of John, and you go in verse 26, people said everybody reads the Bible, and many people have different opinions on what they read. How do we know what the Bible said? That's a fair question. In John 14, and in verse 26, you find the answer. How do you get the answer? How do we know what is truth? John 14, 26. Look at what the Bible says. But the helper. The helper, the Greek word helper is spelled in two words. One word is para, P-A-R-A, which means beside. Kletos, in Greek, you said I kleto means I speak. So para kleto means I speak beside you. When you go to court in America, by law, your lawyer is on your right hand. Your trial lawyer is in your right hand, according to Romans. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, is speaking for you. In America, copy from the Constitution and the Bible, the proceedings and law. And so they do it exactly like that. The paracleto is called in Latin, your lawyer in the court. And that's what Jesus is. He said, the helper, my paracleto, my speaker, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, what is he going to do? He will teach you all things. I tell you, you don't need Greek and Hebrew. You need a good Bible, and you read it, and you pray, God, Holy Spirit, teach me what this book said. And you keep on reading and keep on reading, and you find exactly what does the Bible say. Nobody will lie to you again. So the Holy Spirit at work, he used the means of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. The production of the Holy Spirit is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that brings security. This is what the Holy Spirit does in your life. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible said, "And whom also trusted after you heard the word of truth," that's the means, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed," that's conviction, then look at what happened. "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise." So there are three things in Ephesians. First, you hear the word, because that's the means. Then you believe, that's the result of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And when all of this is done, then you were sealed, not by the church. Look at who sealed you, with the Holy Spirit. Some people say, "Oh, I'm a Christian because I have a certificate here. I have been baptized in this church for so many years," and they say, "I'm a Christian." Now, that doesn't hold water with the word. You need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so the sealing of the Holy Spirit is very interesting to look on it. It is a temporary security. Go with me to Colossians 1, right to the right of your Bible, in verse 21 and 22. The sealing of the Holy Spirit give you that temporary security. Colossians 1, 21, 22. "And you who once were alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works," now look at here, "yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." And so there is a temporary security in the Holy Spirit. You were completely ignorant of God. You did not even have an idea of God. And now the Holy Spirit, by the word and through the convicting power, brought you to God. And the Bible says he has reconciled you. He has put you back together with God. All right? And then there is a permanent security of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the book of Ephesians where we were, and you look in chapter 4, and in verse 30, the Bible tells us not only that now presently at this moment you are reconciled, you are being reconciled with God day by day, the Holy Spirit reconciles you. The Roman Catholic Church has created the Lord's Supper in a way that each time you participate of the Lord's Supper, you at that moment you are reconciled again. You don't need that, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, who reconciles you daily with God. But look in Ephesians 4 and in verse 30. The Bible talking about sin, he says, And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve is a very strong word. You know, you get a Coca-Cola bottle and a can and you drink it and then you squash it with the feet, you put it in the bag and get it into, later on out of your house. And that's what it is. When we sin, we squash the Holy Spirit into our lives. So he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were what? You were sealed. Until when? The Bible said it clearly, until the day of redemption. Until the day of redemption. What day is that? Well, if you go to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 14, look at what the Bible says. Colossians 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And that's why in the mass of the Catholic Church, the priest, assuming that the Holy Spirit is taking over at that moment, he give you the bread and the glass of the wine to say, now you're going to be redeemed because of this. There is no need. We have redemption through his blood. It is a permanent situation. And then if you go to Hebrews chapter 9 in your Bible, and I read for you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. You will see how long is that redemption, that redeeming work of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, no made with hands, that is not of his creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, that's the Old Testament, but with his own blood, he entered into the most high place, and once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. So when you talk in Ephesians about do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed till the day of redemption, is talking about you are sealed until your body becomes eternal, new body in the presence of God. And this is a final act. The church doesn't need to do anything more. Let me show it to you. 1 John chapter 3. You go to 1 John in chapter 3 and in verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, I mean, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see how clear? It's a final security. Once you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the day that seal will be removed is when you see Jesus eye to eye. And you will have no time to say a word. You will be just like he is. Perfect in his body. Perfect in his mind. Perfect in his life. You and I have no idea of how God has prepared us for the future. But it is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Imagine a church that does not preach the word. The people have no convicting power. Imagine people living day by day so busy that they do not read the Bible to themselves. And imagine people having family and not reading the Bible to their children. Imagine. The lack of power, the lack of understanding, that's why we got problems. Not because of the government, not because of the Congress, not because of the president, because of us. We get so busy, so enticed in acquiring things. The American capitalism, who is going away, thank God, and soon will be like Argentina in 1948. So that we become real. And we will be more like family then. What is the counsel of God? Well, it's the counsel of Pastor Paul to the church of Ephesus. Turn your Bible. Well, it's there in the bulletin. Acts 20, verse 32. Paul is leaving the church of Ephesus after 3 years of pastorship. And I always wondered, I'm getting older, what should I say to my church when I resign? I said, you know, one day I had to leave, so what should I say? Well, I look in the Bible what those great preachers said, and Paul is the only one who says something. Chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to what? And to the word of his grace. Paul's security for the church of Ephesus was not his mighty teaching. Paul's security for the word, for the church of Ephesus was the word of God. And Bethel Baptist Church, people in the internet, people on the television, people on the CD, the security of your life is not Bethel. It's the word of God that hopefully we preach at Bethel. May God drill this into our mind. I'm going to be exhibit number one in the power of God wherever I go. So I'm going to read the Bible. You don't need seminary. You don't need Greek and Hebrew. You need a Bible. And a heart to say, I'm going to get smart. And I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to do. Not only I'm going to read, but I'm going to do what God said. So young people, some of you one day come to me and say, Pastor, will you do the wedding ceremony for me? And your partner is an unbeliever. Don't run from me. Run. See, the secret of success is not the stock in the bank. No. It's right here. Whether you own, I met a millionaire one time and he did not own a house. He rented. He has a beautiful Thunderbird, 1964, that I call it. And he let me drive from time to time. But I was in the Navy. But I tell you, I said, why you don't buy a house? Raquel said, why you people don't buy a house? No, he said, we own so many things. So why should we own a house? We dedicate it to the Lord and bring the money to the Lord. And in Calvary Baptist and Alameda, in the Navy base, he was a blessing and giving. A blessing and giving. Some people are touched by God. So I asked him, how do you get this idea? He said, I read the Bible, he said. Thank you, Father. I think all of us read the Bible. I want to cry today. Make me and mold me as you never did before, to be an example of your wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Give the people of Bethel the ability to read and be at peace because they are secure with you. We maybe lose a job, a house, or whatever. That's nothing. Worse will be to lose God. Thank you, Father, that because we have you, you have us, we can never lose you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
He guided my soul in the glow. 1 o'clock, 1:05.